Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Cole Kublik from the SEC Network. Cole, how you doing? Thanks for joining us.
Hey, doing great, guys. How are you?
We're doing well. We're pumped about the Browns' new coach, the new quarterback. It's a good time in Cleveland football for the first time in a long time, Cole.
Well, you got some good guys coming in there. Obviously, I'm familiar with a lot of the people that are going to be joining that Browns staff. I'm actually really excited. I played against Freddie Kitchens when he was a quarterback at Alabama. Joe Witt Jr. was my teammate when I was at Auburn. So I think Jody Wright's a guy's going to join that staff that can really help. He's done some great things here in the state of Alabama. I think it's a heck of a staff that Freddie Kitchens is putting together. I know he doesn't have a long tenure as a head coach in the NFL, but I think he's going to do great things.
Cole, you mentioned that you played against Freddie Kitchens. What was he like to play against?
Tough. I mean, he just, you know, he was one of those, he just felt like a big old country boy playing quarterback that could throw it further than anybody else and happened to be doing it at the University of Alabama. I guess the unfortunate part for him would be that he played in the Gene Stallings era when you were allowed to throw the ball about seven times a game and expected to win games doing so. But he was a guy that you saw him take hits. You saw him get hit and get knocked down. It never really seemed to faze him that much. And won a lot of football games at Alabama at a time when they needed a good quarterback to be able to sort of manage things there. And you look at what he went to do in Arizona with Carson Palmer and what he's done with the rest of his NFL career and how he sort of switched things there in Cleveland towards the back end of last season. He's a guy that knows ball, and there's a lot of people that wanted him to come be a coach on their staff. And I think that's one of the reasons that the Browns did the smart thing and went ahead and named him the head coach, because it wasn't going to take him long to find another job.
You know, it's funny, Cole, because he's got the dialect and he kind of sounds like a good old boy. And, you know, sometimes people associate that with not being smart. And maybe that's why he hasn't got opportunities to become a head coach in this league. But I get the sense that Freddie Kitchens is just he is very smart. And he doesn't give a rip about what anybody thinks about him. I think that ties to where he's from, and you're from Alabama too. Your upbringing is very, very important to you. What is it about Alabama that has made Freddie, you think, unique in terms of his being comfortable in his own skin?
Well, I think the first thing is you play quarterback at the University of Alabama, you're going to develop thick skin. And you better be comfortable with who you are, because you're going to be criticized on a regular basis, daily, multiple times a day. And that's even if you're winning games. People are going to find reasons not to like you. They're going to want the next guy. I mean, imagine what we've been dealing with down here for the last 700 days with Tua and Jalen and how that thing's been played out over and over, back and forth, each way you can imagine. So I think Freddie found out early on that, you know, he went to play quarterback at Alabama. They were a better team than when he got there. He had them a pretty good team when he was there, so they lost a couple games, and people had a lot of reason that they figured they should be mad at him. Not all of it was on him. Not all of it was deserved. But you learn pretty quickly playing the quarterback position too, that you got to know ball, you got to know defense, you got to know how to organize men, you got to know how to organize plays, and he can do all those things. And like I said, I think just his toughness and his exterior, you get the feeling that that's who he is generally. And I think when you're a genuine person, that rubs off on everybody else. I think that's why he has the relationship that he does with Baker, because they're both exactly who they are. They're not trying to be somebody else to make everybody else happy. And if people don't like it, so be it. But that's what they believe in, and that's how they believe that they got to where they are. So they're going to continue to be that person.
Cole Kublik with us, SEC Network. Cole, did you think Baker Mayfield would be as good as he was in his rookie season?
I did not. There were some things that I saw that he did in college that I knew he'd be good at. What I saw him be elite at in college, number one, was accuracy. It's the first thing you have to see. When you see some of the throws he made, you knew that he had great accuracy. But he was next level at sort of working the play action, working the zone reads, working the fakes, and he could really ride those things. He could get out of them quickly and deliver the football. He knew where to go with the football. He made great decisions. So I knew all those attributes would help him. but I didn't know if he would be able to keep plays alive and extend plays and be able to do it at the level or almost the level that he did in college at any time for any length of time for in the NFL. Now, that's just in his rookie year, I'm saying. So, no, I didn't think he was going to be as good as he was, and he impressed me, there's no doubt.
Cole Kubelik, SEC Network, is with us. Cole, you know, Tosh Lupoi leaves Alabama's defensive coordinator. We actually had Freddie Kitchens on the show today, and I asked him, I said, when you talked to Saban, did you tell him you were going to steal his DC? And he kind of laughed and said, no, we didn't talk about that. But he is coming to Cleveland, joining the Browns defensive staff. What can you tell us about Tosh and what to expect of him?
Tosh is a high-energy guy. Tosh, a couple of years ago, was known as sort of a pass rush specialist. A guy who really helped develop edge rushers, helped them with counter moves, helped them develop different moves and find different ways to affect the pocket that impact the quarterback. And as the longer he was at Alabama, the further he got away from that, and people kind of quit talking about that and talked more about what kind of a recruiter he was. And then obviously the conversation turned to, will he be the next DC under Nick Saban? And he was. And then people kind of tried to grade him on that. So I look at this as a way for him to – he probably self-evaluated and wants to improve himself as a coach and wants to try new things and be around new people and test himself in different waters. Now, was part of this Nick Saban maybe saying, I need to go a different direction with my DC? Yeah, I think it absolutely was. There's no doubt in my mind. But doesn't mean that Tosh isn't a good coach. And I think being lined up with guys like Myles Garrett up front on that defense, he's going to be able to help them take the next step as pass rushers and technical defensive linemen, and I think he'll be an asset to Freddie Kitchens' staff.
You know, you look, Cole, at Bama and just losing all these coordinators over the years, whether it be, you know, Kirby, you know, Mel Tucker, now Tosh is gone, you lose your offensive coordinators multiple years. How much do you think – how tough is that on the program, and do you think that's why they maybe had some struggles here, especially in the national championship game?
It's funny because we kind of look at them as, man, is the kingdom crumbling? Is this thing falling apart? Are they going to be able to bounce back? Dustin, they lost one football game last year.
Yeah.
One. And you played football in Ohio State. I played at Auburn. You put me in a DeLorean and go back to 1997, 1999, 2000, and tell me that I can have a season that I lost one game, and that included a conference championship, but all I had to do was cut my pinky off, I would have stuck my hand out and said, go ahead and lop that thing off right now. I'll take it. They had an elite season, a championship season, and you know, a lot of people kind of look at this as maybe not a great season under Nick Saban, but it was. And I think it shows that Nick Saban is not afraid to adapt. He's not afraid to change. And is he going a little bit overboard? I probably would say yes, but he knows his team and his staff and his players better than I do. So the reality is this. Their schedule is an absolute joke next year. I'm not going to try to sugarcoat it. I'm not going to try to tell your listeners how tough the SEC is. I'm not going to try to tell you how tough the venues are. Their schedule is a joke next year. Could LSU be a bit of a problem? Maybe. Could Auburn be a bit of a problem? Possibly, but a lot of things would happen for that Auburn football team. There's not a lot of other teams that I see on that schedule that are going to be problematic for them next year. They're going to be more talented than every team that they play until possibly the SEC title game in Atlanta, and even if it's Georgia, I still think that team is more talented than them top to bottom. And then we're talking about a minute few of maybe Oklahoma, Ohio State, Clemson, and that might be it. Possibly Michigan. I wouldn't even put Michigan there right now as teams that could potentially match their talent in the playoffs. So they should have their coaching staff managed and handled by then. So I think that's why Nick Saban can make these changes, because he can overcome a lot of coaching deficiencies with the talent that he's amassed, and especially with what he's got coming back on offense next year. If the defense takes a while to get ramped up, they should outscore anybody anyway, so they'll have time to get it repaired.
We're talking with Cole Kubelik from the SEC Network. Cole, you mentioned Jalen Hurts before. Obviously, he's transferring. Tate Martell leaves Ohio State. Justin Fields comes to Ohio State. Kelly Bryant. We've seen some big names transfer here. What do you make of what's going on in college football right now?
I think it's good that the players have a little bit more power and the players have a little bit more control of what they can do and where they can go. Am I concerned about the precedent that it's setting? Yes, I am. I don't like to hear about guys that will one day tell you they want to compete and they're going to stick it out, and then the next day they find out somebody's coming into town and they're going to bail. But I understand it. It's kind of like the kids that are projected to go in the first round that set out of bowl games. I'm never going to sit here and tell you that I like it, but I understand it, and I'm not mad at it because I get it, and it's a business decision, and it's a business decision that's best for them personally. I think it's what a lot of these quarterbacks are doing. They realize that I'm going to have a chance to go play somewhere else. And the difference with quarterback in a lot of other spots is, you know, you might be able to play corner and safety. Or if you're a corner and you're third string, Dustin can speak to this, you might be able to play in nickel and dime packages. If you can't start at left tackle because the left tackle in front of you is better, maybe you can move to right guard or right tackle. If you're an outside linebacker that can't play, you're probably playing on punt cover, kick return, punt return, and there may be different packages that you come in the game. Quarterback's really the one position on the field, maybe outside of running back, and at least you're going to play more than one guy there most of the time, that if you don't start, you're probably not going to see the field. It's just the reality. You're not. So those guys see that, notice that, and they want to go somewhere else. It's very beneficial to some other teams. It works out for a lot of the guys that do leave, but I just don't want us to completely get away from younger football players being afraid to compete and not thinking that it's important to stay and compete. I know my son, if he ever goes on to play college football, he's at least going to give it a shot. And I'm going to at least stay on him to compete for a while. And if we know that things aren't looking good down the road, then we'll try to find another option. It's the guys with the quick trigger that bother me a little bit, but it's understandable. Here's the hard part about it. We don't know what bill of goods these players have been sold.
That's true.
We don't know what they were told in recruiting. We don't know what they've been told in staff meetings. We don't know what they were told in spring ball or scrimmages or anything else. So the reality is it's tough for me to sit here and say that guy made a bad decision. That guy's making the wrong decision because I don't know what coaches told him. I don't know what the coaches told him in recruiting. I don't know what his position coach told him during meetings. And if things don't work out the way that they were told, what should they do?
Yeah.
Should they sit around and feel like they continue to just be lied to and be okay with it? That's not a good thing for a lot of these guys. So it's good that some doors are opening because when I played college football, the word transfer was a death wish. You didn't end up at another Power 5 school and have a successful career. That was not a real thing. The fact that guys can get out of a bad situation and still have a productive career, that is a good thing for the kids and for college football.
Cole Kublik is with us, SEC Network. You can see him on the SEC Primetime Game of the Week. Of course, he's got a radio show there in Alabama as well, the three-man front. Cole, let's talk about Fields for a second because you saw him in the SEC this year, played a little bit for Georgia, transfers to Ohio State. Sounds like the people in Columbus are confident, optimistic that he'll be eligible to play this year. How special is he? And if he starts and gets eligible, can Ohio State be in the college football playoff?
Big-time ability. And just a huge, huge upside. He's got great mobility. He's not afraid to be a north-south runner between the tackles. I think he's thick enough. He's built to handle some of the 15, 20 carries a game that a quarterback may be asked to have in a mobile quarterback system. He's got great accuracy on his deep ball. He can push the ball as far down the field as you need him to. You're not going to have an issue with him under throwing guys on deep routes. You do want to see him work his pocket presence a little bit more. I do think he was in a hurry to run some last year, but, hey, he was a true freshman being thrown in at weird times in games, and there wasn't really a chance for him to be comfortable in a lot of games that we saw him in. So I think the sky's the limit. I think he's a perfect fit for what Ryan Day wants to do, which it appears as though Ryan Day will probably get away from the heavy quarterback run load but still want to utilize some quarterback runs, and Justin Fields should be able to thrive in that system.
Cole, what was your first reaction when you heard that Urban Meyer is likely headed back to broadcasting with Fox?
I wasn't surprised at all. He's done it before. He sat on that stage before, and he's a guy whose voice is well respected amongst the ranks of college football. He's got great experience in a couple of Power 5 leagues. I mean, he coached at Utah, who's now in the Pac-12. He coached in the SEC and the Big Ten, so he knows the landscape in recruiting. He knows the geography of a lot of different conferences. He's won national championships. When you're talking about a name as a head coach, realistically, outside of Nick Saban and maybe now Dabo Sweeney, I mean, Urban Meyer's next in line right there as far as coaching cachet at the college level and brings a lot of attention. So I think Fox is smart to bring him on. Is he dynamic on television? Not really, in my opinion, but he knows ball, and he'll be able to give people true life experiences about how things work, how things operate, and he'll be able to scout teams and give you an idea of what you should expect to see on Saturdays.
Hey, Cole, you did play at Auburn. You mentioned that Joe Witt was one of your teammates at Auburn. Joe Witt has spent a lot of time with the Green Bay Packers, since 2009. He now comes to Cleveland as a secondary coach, pass game coordinator, working with the guys in the back end. Do you have much interaction with him recently, and what do you think the Browns are getting with Mr. Joe Witt?
Well, we talk every now and then, but I can tell you, you're not going to get a better human being, number one. He's a family man. His dad was a coach. His dad is a legendary assistant coach at Auburn. Coached linebackers for over 20 years. His dad played at Auburn. Joe was a walk-on receiver, and he worked his rear end off. Very diligent about his work. Never shied away from wanting to work. Never complained about not being a guy that played 15 or 20 snaps a game. And somebody who you wanted to be around, somebody who you'd want your kids around, your family around. And I think has had one of the more underrated careers than any Auburn football player that I can ever remember. We talk about Tekeo Spikes and Fred Beasley and Cam Newton, a lot of these guys that have gone on to do some different things. But Joe Witt's coaching career deserves a lot more credit than even people in Auburn circles want to recognize. And he deserves some credit for that. I mean, he did great things at the NFL level in Green Bay. He did great things at the collegiate level at Louisville back with Bobby Petrino. And I'm excited to see him there with the Browns because I think he's a big asset to Freddie Kitchen's staff.
Sounds good. All right, Colts, wrapping up with a little playoff. What do you think about the playoffs here? Who you got?
I don't know how you can go against Brady and Breeze, to be honest with you. I look at the fact that with the pass rush, a duo of Ingram and Bosa that San Diego brought to the table, and they only pressured Brady on 5 attempts last week. I just don't know if Kansas City's going to be able to get to him and affect him. Experience is huge. And to be able for somebody else to say that they're going to go in that dome with a trip to the Super Bowl on the line and beat Drew Brees, I'll have to believe it when I see it. So I'll take the old guys. I'll take the old fogies. I think the two veteran quarterbacks, Brady and Brees, move on, and we'll see them play in the Super Bowl.
Thanks, Cole. We appreciate
awesome
the time,
stuff.
Man.
Thanks, Cole.
Thanks for having me.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.